relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
To be the leader of the world. Being the leader of the world means to be the leader of peace. Peace in your country doesn't depend anymore only on you and your people. It depends on those next to you, on those who are strong. Strong doesn't mean weak. Strong is brave and ready to fight for the life of his citizens and citizens of the world.
That was President Zelensky of Ukraine earlier this week in a special joint address to the members of Congress and the Senate. How do we understand the last 3 weeks? What is the future scenario for war expansion in the Eurasian continent? I am delighted. We've been working hard to get him on this show. He's been traveling in Europe. He is author, Russia scholar, David Satter, the author of one of the most important articles about the truth of the Soviet Union. David, welcome in studio on One on One.
I'm very glad to be here.
David, when I first covered the war on my TV show on Newsmax, and you know, you always pick the elements, the headlines, the video, the B-roll, I went back to an article that you wrote, I think, for the Wall Street Journal on the 100 million deaths of communism. And it is striking to me that despite having, I think it's a 900-page tome, the Black Book of Communism, that goes through every country's tragic history under communism from Russia to Vietnam, going through the numbers, killed and imprisoned, your article is like a voice in the wilderness. It's one of the very few, if perhaps only, article in the mainstream quote-unquote media that tells the truth about communism. Has our understanding of Russia improved or gotten worse since then?
Well, it hasn't improved, that's for sure. We underestimated the evil of Vladimir Putin. We underestimated the evil of Boris Yeltsin. Of course, this is a post-communist regime, but it has many communist features. So we carried over into the new era a lot of the superficiality and unwillingness to look the truth in the eyes that characterized our behavior, you know, in previous decades. And now we're paying a price for it because this was an avoidable war. I mean, Churchill, when he spoke about the Second World War, repeatedly said this was an avoidable war. It was a war that took place because we didn't face, or the British and the French and, well, the Americans to some extent, did not face the reality of Nazi Germany. Well, the war that we have now could have been prevented had we taken steps similar to the ones that we're taking now when they were first warranted. And that was really in 1999.
You wrote the book, The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship under Yeltsin and Putin. Let's start with the political transition from Yeltsin to Putin, who this person is. Why did Yeltsin, the man who was fated by the West as a quasi-normal politician, why did he literally hand Russia to Vladimir Putin?
Well, he was not only feted as a normal politician, he was feted as the champion of democracy, as the emblem of democracy, as the sum total of democracy for Russia and the Russian people. All that we had to do, we didn't have to think. All we had to do was back Yeltsin. He would do the rest. He would convert Russia into a democracy and a reliable Western ally, even a strategic ally. There were people who used that phrase. But he was, in fact, he had the mentality of a communist boss. He had no respect for for human life. He was thoroughly dishonest. He was thoroughly corrupt. And his family was really at the epicenter of the massive theft of property that took place in Russia after the fall of the Soviet Union. Privatization, as it was called, the handover of property from the state to private individuals, was in fact the seizure of property by criminal elements. And it was something that Yeltsin, and particularly Yeltsin's family, directed. By the time we got to 1999, Yeltsin's popularity rating in Russia was 2%. Now, there are some people who say that there was no one in Russia who actually supported Yeltsin, because in a normal survey, 6% of the respondents don't understand the question.
The question, right.
But the reality is that he was loathed by the Russian people, and there was with good reason.
But he knew that his prime minister, Putin, had been exceptionally loyal to the mayor that he had served in St. Petersburg. So where there was corruption rife as well, the deputy mayor, Putin, was very loyal to his former boss, which is what Yeltsin was looking for, somebody who could protect him after a transition and make sure he wasn't up on charges of stealing the nation.
Absolutely, and who would also protect his family. Russia's economy collapsed after the fall of the Soviet Union. People were plunged into grinding poverty. They didn't live well under the Soviets. But in those first years of so-called independent Russia, the conditions were just horrific. And the death rate was something just unimaginable in a country at peace. The death rate, especially for middle-aged males in Russia, was comparable to an African country engaged in civil war.
Meaning the death from being unhealthy.
From being unhealthy, from taking your own life, from falling victim to criminal terror, to despairing of your own future, and giving up hope in the form of simply refusing medical care. The longevity, male longevity in Russia fell to 56 years. It's unheard of.
The age of mortality, 56 for males.
The expected life, the life expectancy was 56 at one point, 56 and then 57 for males. And there was an article in the newspaper, Novaya Gazeta. A journalist went out to one of the new graveyards that were opened on the outskirts of Moscow, and he recorded an interview with a grave digger, and he said, "Do you see all these graves?" He says, "They're all young men. We never had that before." In any case, by 1999, the hatred toward Yeltsin was so great that it seemed that there was no chance that he or anyone connected with him could possibly become the next Russian president. According to the Constitution in 2000, there would be new elections. But there were rumors, and I was in Moscow at the time, that something big was going to happen, that there would be a massive provocation that would somehow allow Yeltsin or a hand-picked successor to hang on to power. And then apartment buildings began to be blown up in the middle of the night.
In Moscow,
and in Volgodonsk, in Buynaksk, burying people in the rubble. People who went to bed normally never woke up. Entire families disappeared because there was nothing left of them. You couldn't identify people. They were just blown to bits.
And these were blamed on Chechen separatists.
These were blamed on Chechen separatists. And this was, the Chechens denied it. No one listened to them. And this was the basis for a new war in Chechnya. And that war was fought with banned weapons, cluster bombs, thermobaric bombs.
And the targeting of civilians.
Targeting of civilians, including the Grozny Market, which is a huge market. At one time, it was the biggest market in the region. And it was a quote-unquote success insofar as the Russian forces were able to advance and take over territory. And Putin, who was completely unknown, began to appear on television everywhere, vowing bloody revenge against the Chechens who had murdered innocent people in their beds.
He became the face of the Russian response to the alleged terrorism of the Chechen separatists.
Yeah, the defender of the people, the defender of innocent Russian working people who were murdered as they slept.
He is the author of The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship Under Yeltsin and Putin. We're talking to David Satter. His website is davidsatter.com. Please subscribe to the podcast. Go to Spotify. Look for my name, Sebastian Gorka, America First. Subscribe today. If you haven't done so already, dear friends, please also make sure that you have joined us. You have reserved your place for our Stand With Israel tour later this year. 10 days in the Holy Land with my Salem colleague Dinesh D'Souza and his lovely wife Debbie. Join us to visit the places you've only read about in the Bible. Even if you've been to Israel before, you haven't been with me and Dinesh. Go today to standwithisraeltour.com to reserve your places or call 855-565-5519. That's 855-565-5519. Standwithisraeltour.com. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
David, let's stop for a minute on the apartment bombings in 1999 in Moscow and elsewhere that were blamed on the Chechens. I find it, you know, risible. I find it absurd that people, putative conservatives, are saying, "Oh, it's theater, it's propaganda. The Ukrainian civilian targets aren't being shelled; they're doing it to themselves. Hospitals aren't being attacked by the Russians." These are the same Russian forces under the same president that flattened Grozny, that took civilian targets in Chechnya and utterly turned them into a sheet of glass. Why is the West so surprised by the invasion of Ukraine? You served there. You were a correspondent from Moscow. Are you saddened by how little we seem to have remembered of not only the Cold War, but just the last 20 years, David?
Well, I've had an impossible time trying to explain to people what the reality of Vladimir Putin, and it was impossible to explain the reality of Boris Yeltsin.
Why? Because we mirror image. We use
yes, of course, absolutely. We you know, there's a famous line in Ralph Ellison's novel, The Invisible Man. He was referring to black people, and he said, "You look at me, but you see, you don't see me. You see only yourself." Well, this is the way we look at anyone who's in any way in foreign countries, at foreign cultures, foreign peoples. We look at them, and we don't see what's there. We see ourselves.
Meaning, we have an inability to understand a different culture.
Well, we have neither the will, the interest, and as a result, the ability to understand that people are different, that they have that cultures are different, that values are different, and that we have to take account of that.
Talk to us about the values and the culture of the man who's been in power now for 23 years, how he was socialized, what he did in the 1980s. Who is Vladimir Putin, David Satter?
Well, I think the answer to that question is best provided by the apartment bombings. But let's think about it. These buildings were chosen at random. in working class areas, ordinary people who had no particular political views, they were not his enemies. Many of them probably would have supported him had they been given the chance. So it was simply indiscriminate murder of innocent people as a device to gain power.
And discuss how it was all unearthed in the attempted bombing, where officers from the Internal Security Service were found planting the military-grade explosives. Not Chechens, but members of the Russian security services.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there were four successful bombings. Four buildings were blown up. And then a bomb was placed in the basement of a building in Ryazan, which is a city southeast of Moscow. And that bomb, through a miracle, was discovered in time. And the local authorities, who knew nothing about any plot to blow up a building, arrived and they deactivated the bomb, which was set to go off at 5 in the morning. Again, just as the others, to make sure that the maximum number of people would be killed and that no one, that there would be few clues.
And the authorities said this was a training exercise.
Well, what happened was, not right away. What happened was that there was an emergency situation was declared in Ryazan, a dragnet. The entire city was cordoned off. All travel in and out of the city was banned. The railway, you couldn't take a train. You couldn't leave in a car. You couldn't get on a plane. They were checking everybody who tried to leave the city. And, a phone call was made from an interurban telephone, which they had in those days in Russia. And someone said, the city's surrounded. How do we get out of here? And they got instructions from a number in Moscow. A telephone operator found this conversation suspicious, and she listened in and recorded the number that they were calling. And it wasn't the local police thought that they would be calling Chechen terrorists. Turns out they were calling the headquarters of the FSB,
which is the successor.
Federal Security Service, which is the successor organization to the KGB.
So the KGB, after the changes, was split into two: the external service, the SVR, and the internal secret police.
Right, that was the FSB.
So the FSB was behind these apartment bombings,
well,
killing Russians.
I should say at that time. The FSB had also assumed some of the functions of the external security service. But okay, I mean, rather than go into those bureaucratic details, yes.
So the point here is the Russian security service is killing Russians as a pretext to war in Chechnya.
To create a basis to start a new war in Chechnya. This is a false flag attack.
Which Putin would be the face of.
He would be the face of the attack on Chechnya, the supposed savior of the people, not a stooge put in office in order to guard the ill-gotten wealth of the handful of parasites who robbed the country during privatization. Something completely different: the defender of the people, the consolidator of the Russian people, who organized revenge for a terrible crime. But the problem was that the crime was committed, of course, but it wasn't committed by the Chechens. And when the dragnet was put into place, and this call was identified, and shortly afterward, the three people who had put the bomb in the basement of the building were caught. They turned out not to be Chechen terrorists. They produced FSB identification. It was only then that the head of the FSB said, well, this was just a training exercise.
Right.
So what else could he say?
With real explosives.
He said it was sugar, but they were tested positive for hexagon, which was exactly the explosive used in the other four bombings.
We're talking to David Satter. He is the author of Never Speak to Strangers. He has lived and worked in Moscow. Also, most relevant to our discussion today, his prior book, The Less You Know... the better you sleep. Russia's road to terror and dictatorship under Yeltsin and Putin. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First One-on-One on the Salem Radio Network, coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios just outside the insalubrious, fetid swamp that is Washington, D.C.
Hello, this is Sarah from El Dorado County. I just wanted to say I really admire your work with Food for the Poor each year. And I'm 16 years old. I live at home, so I don't really make a whole lot of money. But I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand, and each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away throughout the year, maybe like a dollar or two, and it's for Food for the Poor. And so this year I saved up $80 to give, and I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners who probably make more money than I do. And so if you can just spare a little bit, that would be good. Talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you, Sarah. 16 years old, saved $80 for the amazing work of Food for the Poor that is feeding the malnourished children, hundreds of thousands of them in 17 different nations. Please give today, like Sarah. A one-time donation of $88 feeds a child for a whole year and provides them with clean drinking water for life. We have the food, we just have to get it to them. In this Lenten period, be a guardian angel, be a modern missionary, save a life today. Give as much as you can. Any amount makes a difference. Call today, 855-330-HOPE. That's 855-330-4673. Or just go to my website, sebgorka.com, and click on the Give Life banner. That's S-E-B-G-O-R-K-A, sebgorka.com, and the Give Life banner. You can make a difference today. Mike Lindell has a true passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their lives. Therefore, he created the Giza Dream bed sheets. They look and feel incredible, which translates to an even better night's sleep for you. Mike's latest amazing deal is the sale of the year. For a limited time, you will receive 60% off the Giza Dream sheets that come with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty. You'll receive a full set for as low as $39.99. And for a limited time, with any purchase, you'll receive Mike's soft cover book free when you use promo code G-O-R-K-A. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Gorka. Along with this offer, you'll also get deep, deep discounts on all his MyPillow products, including the MyPillow mattress topper, MyPillow towel sets, and so much more. Call 800-829-8468, promo code Gorka. Just go to MyPillow.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. We're talking to David Satter, who has lived and worked in Russia. What were your jobs there? When were you there? What did you do, David?
Well, I began working in Russia in 1976, actually, as the...
At the age of 10.
A little bit older, but I was certainly the youngest in those days. In fact, I ran it when I worked for the London Financial Times, and I remember one incident shortly after I arrived in Moscow. I gave my coat to a coat room attendant in a Moscow hotel, and I showed him my identification, and he said, "Such a young man and such an important newspaper he was taking."
That must have felt good.
Well, it did, sort of. But of course, now I'm, I grew older, of course.
And then what else did you
but
do later on?
But that was 76 to 82. And I left and began working on my first book, Age of Delirium, The Decline and Fall of the Soviet Union. And during that time, during those years, I wrote for various publications, including National Review, The Wall Street Journal, Reader's Digest. And then I just became affiliated with various think tanks, but I continued to write books. And I went to Moscow again in 2013 as an advisor to the Russian service of Radio Liberty, and also I got accredited as a correspondent. And I was 3 months later expelled from the country. I was the first American journalist to be expelled since the Cold War.
And your transgression, David Satter?
I think that it was not anything particular that I had done. I think the atmosphere changed in Russia as a result of the Euromaidan revolt in Ukraine. That really made the Russians think that they could not tolerate the level of freedom and liberty that they had tolerated before the Maidan revolt.
So this is the key, is it not? We have voices on the right in America saying, it's our fault, NATO encircled them, Ukraine is a cesspit of corruption, they provoked them, U.S. biodefense labs, on and on and on. But the real threat to the Siloviki, to the former KGB nomenclatura, like Putin, is the threat of democracy inside Russia, is it not, David?
Yeah, absolutely. And the example that Ukraine posed. You see, we have a problem in the United States, and we have to be very honest about it. You know, it's a democratic country. Everyone can express themselves. We have the internet now, so persons who previously had to confine themselves to the four walls of their own home or the local bar now can express themselves on all kinds of subjects.
Yeah.
But what the really sad thing is that many people, even in positions of influence theoretically on cable television and elsewhere, don't have even a minimal level of intellectual responsibility. The idea
Just logic that you know, a former KGB colonel is painted by some that it beggars. But I mean,
the thing is, Russia is not an easy subject.
No, but you don't have to have a nuanced level of understanding or a PhD in Soviet studies to understand that the KGB colonel is never going to be the champion of Christianity and the West, which you are hearing that he is the champion of Western civilizations and he's fighting corruption in Ukraine.
Well, that is
asinine. The website is David Satter, SATTER.com. This is America First 101 coming to you from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Relief Factor, pain relief that works, pain relief that's real, pain relief that is liberating tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included. Find out for yourself if you have suffered daily pain and tried everything else, only failed to find relief. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at ReliefFactor.com. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do. And I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me and thousands of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. The only thing you have to lose is the pain. Call 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com. That number again, 800-500-8384, ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. David, Winston Churchill was famously quoted as once having said that Russia is a riddle wrapped in a mystery inside an enigma. Will you just talk to us about perhaps the most egregious misunderstandings that we have when it comes to Putin and Russia today, based either on mirror imaging or something else? If you had one moment, one thing to say to somebody who has to make policy decisions regarding the current crisis, what is the one thing that is most misunderstood?
I think that you put me on the spot here, but
that's what we do. That's what we do, David. What irks you the most when you see misunderstanding?
I think that what people need to understand and what they get wrong is that for Putin and the people around him, murder is just an ordinary way of doing business.
Yeah.
It's just if Boris Nemtsov, the opposition leader, is becoming too much of an irritation, he, you know, no problem. Somebody should just dispose of him.
I had a guest on the show who we had a long discussion, like I am having with you, about the crisis. And he made a comment about, and I backed him up on how the different values of life in Russian culture and Slavic culture. And a clip of that was posted on social media, and some talking head at the Atlantic Foundation took umbrage and said, "How dare you? What do you mean the different value of life in Russian culture?"
I don't know who your interlocutor was, but he's quite correct. I'm not saying that we have to make some distinctions, though. There are representatives of Russian culture who contributed to the ennobling of human life and the ennobling of civilization. Russian religious philosophy is a gift to the whole world, Russian literature and music.
But they're not shaping the current culture in Russia.
But what we're taught, so we have to, you know, we want to also be precise. But that said, the attitude of the political attitude in Russia is that the average person is simply raw material and that his life is absolutely expendable. And we've seen it in this invasion. Who do we think those soldiers are who are being massacred? And the Ukrainians don't want to do it. They're talking about 13,000. Last I saw, 13,500 dead. That was the last figure,
which is stunning.
Lost fewer than that, or slightly more than that, in 10 years of war in Afghanistan.
Right. Let me just reiterate what David just said. So we have reports of 13,000 dead Russians in 3 weeks, in comparison to 15,000 killed in Afghanistan over 10 years. That's remarkable.
It's horrifying. And the reason for this is that they've been scooping up young boys, innocent teenagers, who were called up in the draft and throwing them into an inferno without training, without any knowledge of why they're fighting, unmotivated, desperate not to be there, and being mowed down by Ukrainians who are firing from prepared defenses. Anyway, the defenders always have an advantage. You have to have, and in a country where they don't know the roads, the road signs have been removed. They don't know the geography. The Ukrainians are fighting on their home territory. I mean, who could do that to your own people?
So let me ask you, if any of
and
this,
they are innocent. They're part of a force that is invading.
Well, and many of whom were told this was a military exercise.
And they weren't, and then at the last minute sent into battle.
So let me ask you, if any of this gets back, I know Facebook has been shut down and Putin is trying to control.
It does get back.
Right. So does any of this pose a threat to Putin, or has he got rid of all challenges?
There is a danger. This has got to be, this is the what American policy and what I've been saying has to do. The military, the security services, there are a lot of bad people in those organizations.
In Moscow?
No, in Russia.
Yeah.
But they're not all bad. Many of them genuinely want the best for their country. And many of them understand that Putin is going to destroy Russia. You know, in his crazed megalomania and gluttony. So we had two retired generals who warned against an invasion of Ukraine and predicted precisely what was going to happen.
Publicly wrote articles, did they not?
Yes, they did, and they spoke before organizations of retired military men. Now, if they were willing to say that, and by the way, both of them were rather conservative in the sense of, you know, not terribly friendly to the West, but concerned to defend what they consider to be Russia's interests. But they don't want the country destroyed. They don't want a war. They realize there's no security threat. And they spoke out. Now, if they were willing to speak out, that indicates that many, many others share their views, and especially under these conditions. We have plenty of historical examples where military men began to turn against their superiors or their the authorities and refused to carry out orders. One of the most striking examples was, of course, during the 1991 August coup, when the Alpha Group refused an order to attack the Russian White House because of the danger of killing thousands.
To the parliament.
The Russian White House. What they called the White House. Right. It was the parliament building. Right. I mean, at the end of the Chechen War, toward the end of the Chechen War, General Alexander Lebedev said that 30% of the Russian soldiers are ready to turn their guns on the people who sent them here. And 10% are thinking about it.
Well, the news just this week that two of the intelligence heads in Moscow
have been put under house arrest.
Put under house arrest is not a good sign for Vladimir Putin. We're talking to David Satter, former correspondent in Moscow. He's a Russia scholar and author. He is the author most recently of Never Speak to Strangers. His website is David Satter, S-A-T-T-E-R. Dear friends, there are so many reasons to take balance of nature, but let me tell you why I take those six little capsules each day. I'm constantly on the go. It's impossible for me to always eat well, especially all those things your mother said you should eat. You know, the vegetables and things, evil stuff like kale. As a result, sometimes I just need a little backup. It's six little capsules, three red for fruit, three green for vegetables that provide me with 10 servings of 31 different fruits and vegetables created by Dr. Douglas Howard. Be the healthiest you can be. I just call it health in your hand. Do it for your loved ones. Do it for anybody around you who's concerned for your health. And right now, if you order, you'll get 35% off from Dr. Howard and free shipping on your first preferred order. Go today, balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A, or call their number, 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751 or balanceofnature.com, promo code G-O-R-K-A. David, when you look at the way the last 3 weeks have been progressing, what is the likeliest scenario? Will this man, who some say are crazy, he's taken over by steroids or drug abuse. I don't buy any of that. I think he's doing what he does as a former KGB colonel. Is there any way that he would settle for Luhansk and Donetsk? That would be a slap in the face for his prestige for Putin, would it not? Because he already had them.
It would, and I'm not sure that the Ukrainians would settle for that either, by the way. But I don't know. I don't know. The Putin is going to have to show. Now, we have the example of the first Chechen War, where Yeltsin withdrew unconditionally from Chechnya, but with designs to eventually subvert the country later.
Yeah.
Putin clearly understands he's in trouble, but I believe, and I've stated this, that our target is the Russian military. Secondarily, the Russian people, that's more difficult.
Meaning by target, you mean for them to do something.
There's a psychological aspect.
Yes.
You know, war is partially psychological. I mean, you don't lose a war or you don't win a war until your enemy gives up. Basically,
the will of the enemy is the center of gravity,
and we have to target the will of the enemy, and we have to target those people who share the views of General Leonid Ivashov, who made the statement to which I referred earlier, and we can do it. And one of the things that we have to remind them about is that Putin is an illegitimate leader who came to power through an act of terror against his own people. I mean, it's really, we talk about certain people on the right in America who are making various uninformed statements. That's bad. People shouldn't make uninformed statements, I agree. But what about those in our government who ignored obvious evidence that was presented to them for years and even took an active role in suppressing it?
Yeah.
One of the interesting things at the time of the apartment bombings, or shortly afterward, is the testimony of Madeleine Albright, who was Secretary of State at the time, before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, how she evaded any kind of honest answer about what really had taken place.
Yeah, the culpability for naive policies and also the suppression of the truth.
But not so, Sebastian, it's not just naivete.
No, I said it's suppression.
Also, we want to give them credit for good intentions. Maybe we can say that they feared chaos in Russia. They feared the consequences of telling the truth. This is bureaucrats do react that way. But there was another thing too. I mean, these people could not have been anxious about revealing what idiots they had been in their evaluations of Russia and of Putin and of Yeltsin. September 8th, Yeltsin took a telephone call from Bill Clinton. And he told him that the next president is going to be Vladimir Putin, who had been recently appointed prime minister. And, you know, he's a good man, he's very solid. You're going to have a good relationship with him. Nothing to worry about. And there was a mystery there because Yeltsin's popularity rating was 2%, and so was Putin's. So how could he be so sure that this guy was going to be the next president? Well, on September 9th, the following day, the building on Gurianova Street was blown up.
Yeah.
So the plot went into motion.
And that was 23 years ago. The website is davidsatter.com, and the book you need to check out right now is The Less You Know, The Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship Under Yeltsin and Putin. It's Friday. Let's not end on a down note, as we always close the show on Fridays. My old boss, number 4.
We will not bend. We will not break. We will not yield. We will never give in. We will never give up. We will never back down. We will never, ever surrender. My fellow Americans, our movement is far from over. In fact, our fight has only just begun.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.